KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Cloudy skies and foggy conditions, 65 degrees your temperature here this morning at the KJN studios. And we look today here for partly to mostly cloudy skies, scattered showers and thunderstorms with variable winds at 10 to 15 and a high of 78. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in local news. News is brought to you by Rex Pharmacy, where they'll help you stay on track with your medications. Ask them about no-wait refills and Rex Packs. In news, the Adams County Auditor's Office late this past week provided KJAN News with a list of candidates for the November 7th city elections across the county. Individuals whose names will appear on the ballot had submitted their petition papers by the required deadline. In the city of Carbon, Larry E. Johnson is running unopposed in his bid for mayor. There are five candidates running for five open seats on the city council in Carbon. They include incumbents Vicki L. Haley, Michael Kempton, and Donna Rakow, along with newcomers Helen Hickman and Harold Mitchell. In Corning, incumbent Mayor Janice Mercer-Leonard is running unopposed in her bid for re-election, as is Jerry Peckham in Ward 2 of the Corning City Council, and no one is challenging Judy Beckett in her run for the at-large seat on the council. Residents of Corning also have two public measures to vote on. Public Measure A asks if the City of Corning can be authorized to impose a hotel and motel tax at the rate of 7% beginning on January 1 of 2018. And Public Measure B asks if the Board of Trustees of Corning Municipal Utilities, consisting of three members, be discontinued as of January 1, and a Board of Trustees of CMU, consisting of five members, be established as of January 1st. In the city of Nottoway in Adams County, Mayor Patricia Shipley is running for re-election with no opposition. And there are five people running for five seats on the Nottoway City Council. All five are incumbents: Gene Dixon, Brenda Dunn, Christine Dunn, Becky Poen, and Gary Poen. And finally, in the city of Prescott, Mayor Greg Wilkinson is unopposed for re-election. Three positions are open on the city council. The candidates include Glenn Hickman, incumbent Brenda Robison, and Kevin Ray Schaefer. There's also one seat on the council to fill a vacancy, with Ann R. Liddick running for that position. KJAN News Time is 7:08.
Wow, how many medications do you take?
You mean now, or at noon, or bedtime? Oh, wait, I forgot about the supper time pill.
Sorry I asked, but how do you keep track of which one to take and when?
I'm not sure. Sometimes I wonder if I do.
Have you heard of Rex Packs? A new service from Rex Pharmacy. They take all your meds, sort them into doses for each day, package them into strips of little single-dose packets. You just tear off the packet for that time of day, and you know you're taking the right meds. At the right time, on the right day, every day. It's really pretty cool and simple.
But I don't take everything every time.
That's the beauty of it. Each packet only contains the meds for a particular dose time each day. You just open it and take what's inside. I really think you should check into it.
This is Carla from Rex Pharmacy. If the process of keeping track and taking your medications is frustrating you, let us show you how Rex Packs will simplify the process. All you have to do is bring in your prescriptions and we'll take care of it at no additional charge. Rex Packs at Rex Pharmacy in downtown Atlantic.
In other news, one of Iowa's biggest health systems says the state is improperly barring all of its hospitals, clinics, and health care providers from participating in a new family planning program because of a few abortions performed within the system. The Des Moines Register says Unity Point Health contends its affiliates should be allowed to offer publicly financed birth control services to moderate-income Iowans. No Unity Point affiliate provides elective abortions, but they do perform some abortions in cases of fetal anomalies. But state administrators say a new state law passed earlier strictly bans any system that allows any abortion. The new family planning program, which is financed solely by the state, replaces a Medicaid program that allows participation by agencies that provide abortions. 32 Iowa hospitals are members or affiliates of Unity Point, based in West Des Moines. The system also has scores of clinics and doctors' practices in the state. Iowa lawmakers will not return to the state capitol for a special session, but Iowa's finances remain on shaky ground. Staff for Governor Kim Reynolds announced last week a projected shortfall for the roughly $7.2 billion budget that ended in June was drastically smaller than expected. Final accounting turned up more than $70 million in additional revenue. The Republican governor will borrow $13 million from emergency reserves to offset the shortfall. Iowa has borrowed about $144 million from such reserves this year, and lawmakers plan to repay that money in the next 2 years. There are also unknown costs tied to the privatized Medicaid health care program for poor and disabled people. This will impact the current budget, though it's unclear by how much. It could lead to additional agency budget reductions or complicate a Republican priority next year to cut taxes. Red Oak police arrested a man on a theft charge Saturday. Officials say 32-year-old Kyle William Chase of Red Oak was taken into custody at around 12:15 p.m. in the 200 block of North 2nd Street in connection with an incident that occurred earlier in the day. Chase was brought to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center and charged with theft in the fifth degree, less than $200 value. He was also issued a citation for trespassing. Chase was being held in the jail on $300 bond. No injuries were reported following an accident that happened Friday afternoon in Montgomery County. The sheriff's office reports a 2012 Dodge Avenger driven by 16-year-old Easton Holtman of rural Red Oak was making a left turn while cresting a hill from 220th Street onto L Avenue southbound when it was struck by a 2004 Honda Odyssey minivan that was traveling north on L Avenue. The driver of the Honda was identified as 40-year-old Justin L. Taves of Stanton. The Honda struck the Dodge on the left rear side, causing the wheel studs on the Dodge to shear off and resulted in the vehicle coming to rest in the southbound lane facing southeast. The Honda sustained minor damage to the left front and the left front tire was ruined. Taves pulled the minivan off to the side of the road to prevent another accident. Authorities say the Hillcrest's location in proximity to the intersection is believed to have impaired Holtman's ability to see oncoming traffic. There were no citations issued. Damage from the collision amounted to $2,700. What started off as a single-vehicle accident resulted in one person dead and two others injured early Saturday morning in eastern Iowa. The Iowa State Patrol says the accident happened around 1:40 a.m. when a 2007 Freightliner semi-tractor trailer driven by 37-year-old Destum M. Kidane of Tyler, Texas, entered the ditch off Interstate 80 eastbound in Iowa County near mile marker 209. The semi came back onto the road and overturned, coming to rest partially on the road and in the median. A passenger in a passing vehicle, 43-year-old Stanislaw Gruska of Plainfield, Illinois, stopped to assist. As Gruska was going back to his vehicle, a secondary collision occurred between a 2017 Chevy Malibu, driven by 56-year-old Greg Robert Vigna of Plymouth, Michigan, and a 2005 Ford Freestyle SUV, driven by 62-year-old Donald Perkle of Victor, Iowa. The impact resulted in one of those vehicles striking Gruska, causing fatal injuries. Kidane, the driver of the tractor trailer, and Vigna were transported by ambulance to the University of Iowa Hospital and Clinics in Iowa City. That crash remains under investigation. KJAN News Time is 7:13.
Listen to Carla from Rex Pharmacy tell about their new EasyFill medication synchronization program.
Our medication adherence program will help out our community. We can make it convenient not only for people who are local, but those from out of town. We want to be able to work with them, have them bring their pill bottles in, see exactly how many they have, so that they have one trip rather than several throughout the week. Having you bring your pill bottles in, we find out how many you have, try and get them synced up so that they are all coming due at the same time, which means we would have them filled for you so that you would know every month that you would come in on a certain day and they would be ready for you. And each month thereafter, we'd give you a call ahead of time to see if you had any medication changes, if the doctor has added anything to your medication list. That way, when we get ready to fill them, we have everything in order for you when you come in approximately 3 days later to pick those up. Everything should be ready, well planned, laid out so that it's convenient for you. That way your medication is think about it once and you're done.
If you're ready to take the stress and hassle out of your prescription meds, sign up for EasyFill medication synchronization at Rex Pharmacy in downtown Atlantic.
In your funeral announcements, Eleanor Laura Burkhart, age 99, of Guthrie Center, died Thursday in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Eleanor Burkhart will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Rhonda Jo Richards, age 52, of Moorhead, died Thursday at Mercy Medical Center in Sioux City. Funeral services for Rhonda Jo Richards will be held today at 1 p.m. at the Christy Smith Funeral Home, Morningside Chapel in Sioux City. Agnes Wagoner, age 93, of Atlantic, died September 17th at the Heritage House. Graveside services for Agnes Wagoner will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Atlantic Cemetery. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Larry Embry, age 76, of Madrid and formerly of Panora, died September 10th. Graveside services for Larry Embry will be held on Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the West Cemetery in Panora. Twig Funeral Home Panora has arrangements. James J. Murray, age 85, of Irwin, died Wednesday. Graveside services and burial for James Murray will be held Tuesday at 2 p.m. at the Oak Hill Cemetery in Irwin. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Gerald Wheatley, age 82, of Messina, died on Thursday at the Atlantic Specialty Care. A visitation to celebrate the life of Gerald Wheatley will be held on Tuesday from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Judy Kors, age 71, of Atlantic, died Friday at home. Funeral services for Judy Kors will be held on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Doris L. Lawfrey, age 93, of Guthrie Center, died Saturday in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Doris L. Lawfrey will be held on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home Guthrie Center has arrangements. Raymond Thielen, age 79, of Manning, died Saturday at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. A Mass of Christian Burial for Raymond Thielen will be held Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. at the Sacred Heart Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home Manning has arrangements. And Isla Larson, age 90, of Atlantic, died Saturday at home. Funeral services for Isla Larson will be held on September 30th, this Saturday at 3 p.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements here on KJAN, brought to you here this morning by Rex Pharmacy in Atlantic, the prices you need, the service you deserve. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.